This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, the crossover is brought to you by Abundant Life Weight Loss. They know the secret to losing up to 1 pound of fat every day. Go to AbundantLifeWeightLoss.com. Yeah. Let's welcome in Willard and Dibs. Gentlemen, how are we doing this morning?
Hi, who's shocked? Because I'm Captain Shock.
Shocked? That's too strong for me. I'm surprised.
It was over in the second. Yeah.
No, I'm surprised it was that bad of
okay.
a game.
All right.
I'm surprised
it was that
bad. But like, surprised they lost? No. No. I mean, they were underdogs in the game. That like
I'm mad at you a little bit, Willard.
Just why are you mad at me?
Because I've been trying to Dibs reevaluate everything. Like, I never once disrespected the Rockets. I knew they were Steven. They were young. Let me finish. But Willard, I gotta say this. I'm driving in like, where did I go to subconscious? And then I was with the 11 Kamingas. Like, I expected them not to bounce back and wilt yesterday. And they showed me something. Yeah. And they showed me something Monday, Dibs, when they were possession away.
Right.
When you said they're not dead. From winning.
They were a possession away, and it came down to your best defender against their best offensive player, and Draymond was better. And if you really take a step back, and I shared this on Twitter yesterday right before tip, because the more I was thinking about it, that was a Rockets blowout. The recipe was there. The ingredients were in the stew. I had it as an 18-point deficit, but I had it as a lower-scoring game. And then you watch the opening 4 or 5 minutes. Jimmy is settling for threes. Draymond Green, defensive three in the key. Steph Curry's getting picked by nobodies. And it's like, okay, I see the way that this is going to go. And you lose. Your three best players kind of didn't show up. And
no
Houston
doubt.
Came out hair on fire. And you're down early. And then you're down more. And then you're really down. And it's, okay, let's pull the plug. It's all right. You're up 3-1. Let's go home. And I was just telling Evan and Grandy, they probably should have just said, Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy, don't even get on the plane. Let's just chill. You guys get your rest, and we'll go forward with Pat and Braxton
but
and all the
on,
fellas.
You weren't here yesterday. Real quick, Willard, he wasn't here yesterday, and we all talked, and I thought it was brilliant. You guys were talking about making the comp to the Memphis play-in, and if you win, what that rest would mean. So I thought with this finger thing that's growing, the story, and Jimmy, Willard, I thought – that would be incentive. They would be incentivized enough to take care of business.
I don't want my man to catch a stray, but Grandy's the one who made yesterday the biggest day in the history of mankind and creation. I didn't feel that way.
And
I admitted that I didn't feel that way. Like I overplayed it by being like, dude, I'm watching this game in flip flops. I'm not going to even have shoes. Who cares if they win or not? I was kidding. But no, I did not think.
Okay, I had it
I did
wrong.
Not think that the whole thing came down to yesterday. I still think if they win tomorrow night, 2 days of rest is plenty for adult basketball players to handle their business. This is the way the playoffs go. I'm not going to react to any one basketball game and change the whole tenor of this. I get it. The day after losses, you feel sick, and you feel like it's going to snowball. There's zero evidence of it.
All right.
None. None. It almost net, like, the Warriors won two home games. How did it snowball? Not well. I don't think yesterday snowballs into tomorrow.
It never snowballs. I take you back to 2022, where they went to Memphis. They were the three. Memphis was the two. They stole game one, and then they lost game two. They came home. They held serve. And then you went to Memphis, and you lost by 39.
1,000 points.
Right. Yeah. And then you came home in game six,
and you won.
And you pulled your stuff up by the bootstraps, and then you locked in Dub Nation, and you knocked Memphis
Stein
out.
Stein is rubbing off on me. Curry was 34. No hand issue. Butler didn't have this pelvic contusion. That's all. I'm not worried. I feel like they can handle it. But, Will, if somehow we get to a game seven, then it's like, man.
No, that's not a good setup. But I don't think that last night means anything for game seven either. Now you're 22 years old and it's game seven. That's a lot of weight. That would look different. But I don't think it's going to end up there. It's probable that the Warriors will win this thing tomorrow night. But no, the way our timing worked, like we did Warriors Live up until and then there was a problem on the Bay Bridge last night.
Oh, I saw that, boy.
They were down by 25 before I could get to a TV.
Come on, man.
And that's what was disappointing. Like they couldn't even. But I actually, don't make that all about the Warriors. The Rockets played really well.
And that's my biggest takeaway series.
They played really well. Give them that. They did, those young Bucks went out there and did what they were supposed to do last night.
Right.
Good
right.
for them.
And if you want to talk odds, and I'm looking at FanDuel right now, the Warriors to win the series are minus 500.
Wow.
So you still got to lay 500 to win 100.
Man.
They're up 3-2 with game six at home. Now, if they happen to stumble in game six, I do think that they'll still be favored to win the series.
Interesting.
But it won't be minus 500.
Remind me, minus 500 is more of a favorite than they were to start the series.
Yes, sir. Right? I think it was minus 175.
And it's also more than it was when they were up 3-1.
It's hard to do this when you're a fan because we get so emotional. Like, don't forget, you'd way rather be the Warriors right now than the Rockets.
Stani said that, no doubt.
The Rockets do not have anything by the you-know-whats right now. Nothing. Nothing.
But a road game tomorrow.
Yeah, they're big underdogs in it. And guess what? Like, all of the officiating energy that goes one way, it comes right back the other way. They worked the refs perfectly last night after the game. They said all they needed to say. And now we're all talking, the whole world's talking about slapping at Steph's
head. Out of nowhere,
perfect.
Man. Yeah.
Perfect. It's been there the whole time, but they're only talking about it now. Because they want to get the refs' attention on that tomorrow night. You know,
I mean, the Houston Rockets were a two seed in a conference that we all think is pretty darn good. They won 52 games. They have home court, or they had home court going into the playoffs. And the Warriors are a seven seed, and they're up 3-2, and they're coming home. Like, if you would have said that before this series, I think everybody takes it.
Don't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, even if you would go back to the beginning of the year and you said, all right, Warriors, you're going to be a seven seed and you're going to face the two seed in the first round. We don't know who that is, but you'll be up 3-2 with game six at home. They would have taken that against LA, Minnesota, OKC, every single team they would have taken it, right?
I think I'd say this even further. I will take being up 3-2 in any series ever, always.
Yeah, I don't.
Period.
I'll take that. I think from day one to the last game of the regular season, when they got off to a 12-3 start, they struggled. They got Butler. They turned it around. We got excited. I'm with Willard. At any point in the season, I would have said, I'll take it. We're going to finish a seven, but we're going to be up 3-2 in the first round. I'll take it. There's no reason why you wouldn't, especially because at seven, you don't have home court.
Right.
And that's indicating that you've already won a game on their home court.
I want to throw this in. I mean this. I would have been more bummed if they lost that game by three.
Absolutely.
That would have stung because you had a shot. You had a shot to close it, and your veteran closers didn't close it. Yesterday is a burn-the-tape game. Good God, you got smoked.
But the question is, why? after the game that you just won 2 days ago, Willard, you won at the buzzer.
Ooh, you got to not flow with this so easily. Like, this is the NBA.
Yes, okay. And let me just, I got you.
They beat you last night.
Is there anything, because they're young, fun, and I disrespected the Rockets. I know they got talent, but even when they... I didn't think when they got down 12 the other game on here Monday, I just thought they would fold. I thought they would fold yesterday, but they never got down. But for them to come back with their backs against the wall at home, we've seen many teams just kind of wilt, like, you know what? We had our chance game four. So I'm impressed from that vantage point. But we can't sit here and ignore the athleticism and the stuff that I thought is not as important as pedigree and moxie, which the Warriors have, and closers and guys that have done it. But this is just me. I keep going to Monday thinking, how did we win that game? By the skin of our teeth. And then the next game, after Steinie and he signed me up for this, the Rockets are incapable of blowing out the Warriors. We all thought that, not bought it, but we saw it. So we can throw it out. But my question to you three is, why did that game go down like that? Is it the youth? Are we in the 12th or 13th round of a 15-round bout, and the older guy is starting to get a little tired? I don't think it is.
Just got out
play. But when we're in the building tomorrow, we'll know in the first quarter if there's been a little bit of a shift. And I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to be quiet. You think the Rockets are scared of any Warrior offensive player? I'm starting to believe now, no.
Do you think the Rockets are scared of or the Warriors are scared of any Rocket offensive player? I don't think anybody's scared. They outplayed him. That's why. Nothing that happened last night is in the building tomorrow, and I disagree with you. We're not going to know crap after the first quarter. We're not going to know crap after the first quarter tomorrow night, because every time we think we know something, the Warriors kick the living face off of the Rockets in the first and the third quarter on Monday night. And how'd that work out? Half of us think the Rockets outplayed him in the game. So, like, I don't think you disrespect. Don't do that to yourself. Right. You didn't disrespect anybody. You made a pick. The Warriors are in the lead. They have actually been, I think, more than the Rockets. They've been the better team in this series. And
Stoddy, do you buy that?
The Rockets kicked their butts last night.
The Warriors have been the better team in the series?
It's close. I think it's an evenly matched series. I mean, it's 3-2, and the one different game was a 1-point game. They're very close.
Right, and that to me was the difference.
The circumstances, though.
The difference was in the game that was certainly in the balance, the Warriors with maybe it's their championship pedigree, the experience, the veterans, whatever it was, the coaching. I do think it was all of it. They won the game that was most in the balance, and I do think that it's all those things. Udoka choosing to go with Şengün against one of the best defenders in the world, Jabari Smith with a terrible three and a turnover. If you look at the last 3 minutes of that game, game four, Houston made a lot of rookie, quote-unquote, mistakes, and the Warriors were the vets, and the Warriors won the game that was in the balance.
I'm also going to add this in, though, and whether people think this is fair or not.
Oh, yeah.
You're not only up 3-2 as the road team, you played two games without Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry's hand has something growing in it.
It's pregnant.
And the Rockets are at 100% full strength all five games. And you're still winning. So I actually don't think it's that even of a series. I don't. I think that a lot of things have gone against the Warriors, and they're still ahead.
Yeah, the Butler damn near get two games.
And Pods got all sick all over himself for a game. So there's like the circumstances have tilted at times in the Rockets' favor, and they've not taken advantage.
And the circumstance of the game last night was the Rockets shot 69% from the floor in the first half.
They were incredible.
69% from the floor, and they shot 60 from three and 85 from the foul line, which is way out of character. So Houston was on such a heater, 76 points. You're up 27 at the break, and it's night-night. So Houston did what they did. They were phenomenal. The Warriors were flat.
Just kind of going through the motions.
A little bit in that first quarter where the Warriors are up 8-5, and then they go 3.5 minutes without a point, and Houston goes on a 15-0 run over that same period, and now you're down a dozen. It was over at that point.
Man. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app. Now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. What did you think about the effort of the second team?
That was fun.
Gutsy.
What was the lowest they cut it to? Was it 11 or 13?
13.
Yeah.
My guy 0 for 7, Jack, couldn't. He looked like me and knocked out Dibs trying to put him back in.
He needs a mic and drill.
What was that?
He did a mic and drill, and he looked exactly like the 7-year-olds who try it. He did a mic and drill.
I said the ball just does not want to go in to cut it to 11.
He's like, I'm going to use my left hand. I'm going to try my right hand. Nope, still don't have anything.
Keep Pat Spencer could play on my team anytime. I've always liked him. Stoddy, you got to back me up. Dude, he just got something. He remind me of you and Danny Ainge.
Yeah, I love it, and I love the feistiness, but, and this is my thing, if you're going to use the headbutt as a technique, then you use the headbutt. You go ahead and crack that man right across the nose, and let's see Shengun bleed a little bit instead of the little, my 2-year-old daughter calls it, she calls it a nosy nuzzle. When you like nosy nuzzle, and you know, she's 2.5, and it's like, oh, it's so cute. And that's kind of what Pat Spencer did. It was a nosy nuzzle.
Kind of like Halliburton's dad and Giannis.
Right. Like, if Halliburton's dad is going to come out here, come with some heat. Don't come with your nya-nya-nya energy.
He had a towel.
Now he's saying he didn't say anything. You know, he didn't use
BS. He didn't say anything.
Pops, you were sipping.
Showing a towel to Giannis. Now, can I throw this at you guys, though? I'd love to hear your response to this. I thought the Rockets made a huge mistake getting sucked into that last night. I thought that was tremendous.
I thought
stupid.
Shengun was going to be making himself unavailable.
What? You are a 7-foot all-star.
Yeah, no.
And you're tangling with Patrick Spencer. Have some self-respect.
And I thought he did the headbutt first.
And you got the Warriors' attention now. You went and got their attention. That was super dumb. Mm. I'm sorry. You got sucked in up against the 13th and 14th man on the bench who have absolutely no effect in this series whatsoever. That was
I guess he was reacting to GP2's, and it was a pretty hard foul on throwing Dylan Villanbrooks to the ground.
Was it GP2?
Yeah, I thought that too.
It was Pat Spencer and Moody. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it was Moody. Yeah. GP2 wasn't even on the floor. Like, you can't.
But he was protecting this guy that had just got thrown to the floor.
Spencer!
Dude, don't disrespect Pat Spencer.
Wait a minute.
I'm not here for Pat Spencer slander.
Flip it around.
Yeah, exactly.
Draymond Green gets into a nuzzy-nuzz match with Bob.
Yeah.
Who the 13th man on the Rockets. How you feeling?
Oh, we'd be livid.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing.
It wouldn't happen.
I know he's 22, but Shengun, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, I didn't look at it like that.
That's a mistake. He got the Warriors' attention last night.
We got Pat Spencer's attention.
No, the bench was activated by that. They were into it.
So it was the Warriors' Scribinis were not trying to bait the Rockets' starters.
Doesn't matter if they were. You're the starters. You're an all-star. Don't get baited into that by Patrick.
Well, this is one where if the shoe were on the other foot and Curry's got to be out there to put away a game.
That's what I'm saying.
And here comes Cam Whitmore and Jock Landale.
Yeah.
Like, the Warrior fans would be like, look at these goons trying to start something with our starters.
What did I just said? The comp is if Draymond Green went after Cam Whitmore, that'd be embarrassing for Draymond.
No, but I look at it
that's
other way. It was Cam Whitmore going after Draymond.
That's fine.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you got to be above that, dude.
You're
an all-star.
You're going after
a lacrosse player?
I had
player?
The thought of this.
Because
the
Scribini comes at, like, the Scribini's trying to hurt him.
First of all, this whole thing started because of something that, in this series, is pretty innocuous. That foul on Dylan Brooks in this series, that is no big deal. And you're going to get all up in arms about that in a game where you're up by 30 points and Dylan the villain had to fall down, which is literally something he does on every play. You can't get sucked into that. That's stupid.
Well, game was down to 13 at that point.
Man,
potentially the bounce. And you mentioned it. TJD scores to cut it to 13 with 5 to go. The next possession, Moody misses a layup.
This is incredible.
Spencer misses a 3. Knox misses a fadeaway. And then Key misses a putback. They had 4 shots before Houston even got a chance.
It was like Charles Smith when he was with the Knicks trying to score on Pippen and Jordan.
Oh my God.
It had four or five cracks at it. Put it in.
That looked like a Nerf hoop game in the living room.
Yep.
Good Lord.
Pat Spencer, by the way, becomes the first player ejected from a game this year in the playoffs. So there you go.
Wow, who had that?
Bring that to the bar later.
Plus 1 million.
Yeah.
And I would say, is that a good look?
It doesn't matter.
Well, right,
it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it does.
I mean,
if you're all I'm saying is, if you're not a Warrior fan, you look at that and say they put this goon in there to try to start something with a player who's better on the other team.
But you
what do you mean?
He waved a white flag. That's why Spencer.
No, but that's the point. So Spencer's got to go up against Şengün. You're damn right. He would have loved to get into a little scuffle with him.
But you're making it about Şengün, and that's not where it started. Do you believe that what happened to Dylan Brooks was worthy of everybody getting chest to chest?
I mean, there's been a lot of plays like that this series.
I mean, I'm sorry. You're the Rockets starters and you're playing Pat, come on, be the two seed. And freaking do your thing. You got fouled. It wasn't even that hard of a foul. I'm not getting sucked into that. That's on you.
Yeah.
Bad look, Şengün.
I can see why a star player would take offense to a guy who nobody's heard of trying to be all physical and aggressive and trying to bait.
Again, I think you're jumping from point A to point B, though. Point A was not that big of a deal. It was just a foul, and Dylan Brooks fell down. No big deal.
Well,
wasn't even as hard as what Jimmy Butler did to him the night before.
So then what was Spencer's role in any of this?
Oh, Spencer was the one who kind of threw him out of bounds. And Moses was there. Spencer can't get the ball, and he just gives him a little forearm to the back. And, you know, Brooks definitely, he flew a lot more easily because he knew he would get the foul. And then Şengün's got to come in and take up for his guy.
And he gives Pat a shoulder.
Are fine.
Yeah, 7-foot all-star gives shoulder to Pat from the stands. Come on.
That's enough of the disrespect on Pat's
What are we doing?
11 Patty, points.
What are we doing?
He was instrumental in the comeback.
Problem with Spencer is he still thinks he's playing lacrosse with a helmet. That's the problem.
And TJD, he got his. I ain't playing. Let me push anybody, Dib. That's about your own thing.
You can't get. I'm sorry. You can't
that's
get sucked
what
into
that was to me.
I'd say the same thing if the shoe was on the other foot.
In real time, Willard, I go, if Şengün gets. I was thinking down the road, you fail for the bait against their non-starters. Like, why are you doing this?
Maybe he thought Spencer's trying to hurt somebody. Mm. Or maybe they're thinking Spencer is trying to provoke a fight because we know sometimes how things go. And if you trade Spencer for Şengün, game six?
Don't you think that's an overreaction? Because again,
I'm not saying it isn't.
But it wasn't Spencer versus Şengün. Dylan Brooks got fouled. Yeah. Şengün ran over, took exception, and gave him a shove.
Yeah.
Gave him a shoulder. Little Patrick. He gave him a shoulder.
Well, first of all, he's about 6'6". He's pretty strong.
He's 5'2 next to Şengün.
Well.
And of course, Pat can stand up for himself. Yeah. He's a phenomenal athlete. I know the whole story, but that's not my point. In the scheme of what we're talking about here, he's a nobody.
Yep, and that's why players who are important in this series on the other team might tend to look at that and say, get out of here, man. You 14th man.
It was just a foul.
We know what you're trying to do.
It was just
we
a
know
foul.
What you're trying to do. It might have been.
It wasn't anything compared to what Dylan's been doing for the last five games, going after Steph's thumb.
Dylan is an important player, and Steph's an important player. Spencer's not an important player.
Dylan admitted to a microphone last night that he's a dirty player.
Oh, please.
Oh.
Is that what he said?
He said, I'm a dirty player. Absolutely. If I had an injured ankle, I would expect that I would go after it on purpose.
What did the Timberwolves do to Luka last night? They knew he had a bad back, and they went at him
terrible take. They did not.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That foul that wrenched his back was DiVincenzo hit him on the shoulder from behind. He didn't go after his back.
No, my point is when he got a back injury and he played the second half with a back injury, the Minnesota Timberwolves went at Luka every single time on defense because they knew he wasn't 100%.
Oh, no, that's different. That's not what I'm saying.
Dylan Brooks is saying, if I had an ankle, I'd try to drive around the guy.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying if I had an ankle, I'd go after the ankle.
The
question was about going after Steph's thumb, not going after the weak gazelle in the group.
I'd
attack it. No, like I'd attack physically, Jalen Rose style.
Okay, do you think Dylan Brooks tried to hurt Steph Curry last night?
The other games, too.
We'll have to agree to disagree there. That's all.
I mean, Draymond said he thinks it's obvious.
Okay, well, then it's take it to the gospel.
Well.
Like, Draymond.
And then you asked from the horse's mouth, and he didn't deny it. He said, that's what I would do.
Of course.
Trying to go after Steph's thumb? That's what I would do if I were hurt.
When I heard him say it, and I heard the quote, my thought was, he was saying, if I'm playing against a guy with a bad ankle, I'm going to go at him.
No. Well, play it here. Granny's got it.
No, I've been playing the game. Shoot. If you're going to come play the game injured or whatever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time.
I would not attack the player.
How do you attack an ankle?
I don't know. He's the one who brought up the body part.
He meant attack the ankle. I looked at it as attack the ankle by going by.
I vehemently disagree with you. I mean, my God. He said it. He used the body part. He did not say we would attack the player by trying to score on him because he's weakened. He said I'd go after the ankle. I would try to hurt the player.
No, that's your interpretation.
You're darn right. It is.
Yep. That's fair.
Well, and not every contact to the thumb is illegal, as you know.
Also true.
As far as contacting the shooter's hand, it depends on how much of the follow-through that shooter has been able to complete. So you can go about contacting a shooter and not have it be illegal. There's a difference between incidental contact and contact that purposeful. Is aggressive, purposeful, and meant to potentially injure the shooter, and that comes down to the referee's discretion.
That thing is humongous, man. It is incredible. He's not using it as excuse at all.
I buy what Steve Kerr said, which is that there's a rule that the NBA put in, and they did not mean it for players to do this, which is to say the refs are not going to call a foul. The NBA meant it. You're not going to call a foul anymore when hands touch each other after the ball's been released on a shot.
So had Dylan
Brooks... Steve said, now you have players going, that means I can purposefully whack your hand after you've released the ball. That's not what they meant for it to be.
Right.
And he's right. They'll probably change the rule next year.
And had Dylan Brooks not had his hand on the midsection area, Butler shoot that three and hit the hand, no foul.
Wow.
Yeah.
What time you got Steve Kerr today?
5:00.
5:00.
Steve Kerr. You never could tell if they won or lost. You guys will do a good job.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah,
Steve. All right, well, bring it home, guys. Steve Kerr, 5:00. And tomorrow night, don't forget, 6:00 tip-off at Chase Center. It's not the 7:00 normal Friday start. 6:00, so get there early. Game 6, tomorrow at Chase. Don't go anywhere.